Being a first-time mom, a new mom, can be surprising. It takes some adjustments. Stephanie Green says it can be exhausting.
Especially those first 6 weeks when you're home. I mean, there is a vicious little cycle going on. You are feeding the baby, which can take up to 40 minutes. And then you're dealing with blowouts after the feeding. And then you have to have them awake for a little bit of time. And then they fall asleep for maybe a few minutes. And then it's time to start the whole cycle over again. So for those first 6 weeks especially, your husband can get neglected in those weeks.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Damon Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can always find us online at familylifetoday.com. What does it look like for a new mom and dad to together walk closely with Jesus during the first weeks and months of being parents? We're going to talk about that today with Rob and Stephanie Green. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So I have to tell you two stories, okay? Story number one, this is the fall of 1980. I was at work, working at a radio station in Oklahoma, and I was just working there middle of the day. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, and I look out the window, and I see my wife pull in the parking lot in her nursing uniform. She's supposed to be at work, and she's pulled up the radio station. She walks in the nursing uniform, and first I'm thinking something's wrong, but she's smiling as she is coming in to the radio station. And I go, what is she doing here in the middle of the day? And she's smiling. Well, do you know what she was coming?
She's going to tell you that you're expecting.
We were expecting our first baby.
That's how she comes to work,
and she comes in. I remember the beam on her face.
She just couldn't wait.
I didn't even know she was going to the doctor. I mean, I knew nothing. So this was all fresh news to me. We're having a baby.
Wow.
Okay, so now let me jump ahead 13 years, and we're both wondering if maybe she's pregnant with number five. And I'm going, do you think you're pregnant? I think she's maybe a week or two past, you know, her date. And I go, do you think maybe you're pregnant? She said, I don't know. We were at Sam's Wholesale Club. And I said, well, just buy one of these pregnancy kits and we'll use it when we get home. And so we got it. We thought, why wait till we get home? She went in the bathroom at Sam's.
Come on.
At Sam's?
At Sam's.
Come on.
And she walks out of the bathroom at Sam's just looking at me just – nodding her head slowly.
Was she beaming?
I don't remember the same beam that I had seen the first time, but she's just nodding her head. We were both happy to be expecting number five. I remember telling my mom, who was like, you're having another baby? What is wrong with you kids? I went to my mom years later after she and our son David were tight. And I said, can you imagine what life would have been like without David? And she said, no.
When we had our first, and you know, your first, you're just nervous. We get to the hospital and it's sort of rushing around the whole thing. And I remember watching Ann as we're walking in and I look down and I go, honey, I don't know if you noticed this, but your underwear is tagged to your heels. It was dragging
wait,
along.
Wait. You've got to get this right.
Oh, I didn't get it right?
We had already had the baby.
Oh.
We had already been home with the baby, but he had a high bilirubin count, so we had to take him back to the hospital. You guys, this is the most embarrassing moment. I look down at my foot, and I have my underwear.
You're dragging your underwear.
On my heel of my shoe. All over this hospital. I had been in admittance. I had been on the floor. I was like so embarrassed.
And I saw it for hours, but I didn't tell you. No, I'm kidding.
Well, we've got a couple joining us today who have come together to help every mom and dad who are in that stage from the two lines being blue on the kit to when you bring the baby home and you start to adjust to new life. Because life, marriage, family changes when you bring home your first baby. Rob and Stephanie Green join us on Family Life Today. Guys, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Rob and Stephanie live in Lafayette, Indiana. Rob's on the staff at Faith Church there. Stephanie's a stay-at-home mom. She's a mentor to other moms. And together they've written this book called Tying Their Shoes, A Christ-Centered Approach to Preparing for Parenting. Do you remember, Stephanie, when you found out you were pregnant for the first time?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It had taken us quite a while to get pregnant. So I'll never forget when I first found out. It was wonderful. Hmm. Yes.
What was the circumstance? Was it in a doctor's office or was it?
Actually, it was at home. But, you know, as someone who's trying to get pregnant, you're on this constant roller coaster. Hmm. Am I going to start my period? Am I going to be late? What am I going to do this month? And poor husbands, I mean, they walk home when you're in that state of what am I going to walk into today?
Right.
But no, it was at home and had a positive pregnancy test and couldn't wait for him to get home and share the news.
Mm. Were you nervous about the pregnancy and whether you'd be able to carry to term at all?
No. I think I was more fearful of, am I ever going to get pregnant? Mm.
So once you got the news, Rob, do you remember your wife telling you that you were going to be a daddy?
I don't remember the exact moment.
Isn't
of that
funny? Now, this is, can I just point this out? She has very clear memories. He's like, yeah, I kind of remember that happening. And that's pretty typical, right? That a woman, this is a fulfillment of a dream for her more
absolutely.
Than it is for the husband.
Let me ask Rob, do you remember the birth?
I do remember the birth. Oh, do I remember the birth?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole different experience. Yeah. You've written a book to try to help couples get ready for the adjustment. And what is the thing that you think most couples don't stop and take into account when they're expecting a baby?
I think the most important thing is to prepare yourself spiritually. Hmm. There are tons of resources out there to help you prepare physically for that experience.
Yeah.
And many times, one of the first things we did was go out and buy the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Didn't we all buy that?
All of us bought that.
And one of the reasons is you experience things physically that you've never experienced before, and you want to know the things that are a big deal and the things that aren't. But part of the challenge is you don't prepare spiritually for the fact that your life is about to significantly change.
Okay, so if you sat down with me and said you need to prepare spiritually for having a baby, I'd look at you and go, what are you even talking about, prepare spiritually for having a baby? What are the core components of that?
Well, one of the things that we wanted to try to address is the issue of identity. You know, you're going to have somewhat of a different identity in the sense that you're now a mom or you're now a dad. People are going to talk to you and they're going to want to see your baby. They're going to want to hear about what things your baby is doing. But that doesn't change the core identity of who you are in Christ.
Is that what you mean when you talk about many parents have an identity crisis after the baby's born? What does that mean?
Yeah, it means that they're struggling to adopt their same identity of who they are in Christ, and they have now been consumed by all of the new and wonderful changes that a baby brings.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember wrestling with any identity issues, or did you, Stephanie, feel like I'm secure in who I am in Christ, and that's at the core of what I'm doing?
I don't think I struggled with identity issues. I mean, it was a new identity. I'm now a mom, mm-hmm. and those first few weeks being a mom is a big deal because it's so time consuming, but I don't remember struggling with my identity in Christ.
Even before you become a mom, when a woman finds out that she's expecting a baby, boy, that takes all of her thinking. I mean, I just remember with Marianne, when she's pregnant for the first time, not just what to expect when you're expecting, which you read and highlight and underline, but now everything starts to change in terms of what nutrition, I'm taking care of my body and I'm trying to do this. And there's not a whole lot of time that goes by when you're not thinking, I'm in a very different spot than I was before I knew I was pregnant.
Yep.
And for dads, it's not quite the same.
I was going to ask you guys, what's the identity crisis for men? Do you guys go through a transition? Because I know we do as women, because our life is turned upside down. Do men experience that?
I think the fact that we're not biologically bearing the child, carrying that baby inside of us, I think it's a very different experience for husbands and dads. I don't know. What was your experience when—
I mean, the first thought that came to me was I remember a loss of identity in terms of being Anne's husband. Hmm. Here's what I felt. I felt like now a child is more important in this home than I am.
Oops.
Was this even before the baby was born?
Yeah, I sensed it as the, you know, month 6, 7, 8, you know, her whole body's changing. She's getting ready to become a mom. And then, yeah, after we had children, it was a struggle for me because I was like, man, you give them everything and I get the leftovers.
Yeah.
We had this discussion. In fact, her dad one time said it to her. Remember this?
Oh, thanks for bringing this back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to talk about it, but I remember it like yesterday. I was like high-fiving the guy. We'd never talked about it, but her dad sort of pointed out.
We were eating dinner, and my dad, as we were eating, and our kids were babies and little, and he said, "Boy, it must be nice to be one of your kids." And I said, I think that's nice of you guys. Poor Dave.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, "Dave, you treat your kids way better than you treat Dave."
And I look over, and I'm that kid, and I'm like, wow. Somebody else sees what I feel.
Thanks,
know?
Dad.
Yeah. But I think the identity thing is so important, and it's chapter one in your book. So obviously you think it's important too, because I think what we see parents do, and I'm not saying I haven't done this, is they find their identity now in their children, mm-hmm. especially as they get 7, 8, they get into sports or they're good at something else. You find your identity in them, and you don't even realize you've sort of lost yourself.
God's just awakened a mother's heart in you.
Right.
And this is a whole new dimension of love and caring and nurturing. And that can pretty soon overwhelm all of your heart. And that's where your focus is. You go on to talk in the book about the priority of the marriage relationship and why this needs to be so important. But Stephanie, talk about the challenge of feeling so drawn to the dependent needs of a child. And your husband can make a sandwich for himself, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. It's challenging because, especially, I just think through those first 6 weeks when you're home. I mean, there is a vicious little cycle going on. Mm. You are feeding the baby, which can take up to 40 minutes, and then you're dealing with blowouts after the feeding, and then you have to have them awake for a little bit of time, and then they fall asleep for maybe a few minutes, and it's time to start the whole cycle over again. So for those first 6 weeks especially, and sometimes it's even longer than that, you just feel like your whole life is caring for the need of the baby, and that's fine. I mean, you kind of have to.
Right.
But yeah, your husband can get neglected in those weeks.
Do you remember feeling your heart drawn away from Rob and drawn toward your love for this helpless, dependent baby?
I don't remember that, but that could be in part because our lives were so crazy at that point. Mm. He was a full-time student. He worked full-time, traveled. So we had this child, so I was just trying to take care of the child so that he didn't have to do all that stuff.
I can remember feeling overwhelmed by the demands of a baby and children. And so when Dave, I could feel him pressing in, like, what about me? I'm feeling like, are you kidding? I have nothing left.
Yeah.
And you felt like that too. I think that's typical for women of even figuring out, who am I? Am I just a mom now? How do I walk with Jesus in the midst of this demanding life?
Rob, were you feeling neglected at all from Stephanie? Do you remember when you had your baby?
Oh, I think there were definitely times that I felt like there was the...
Like you were, like you had
Dave
been
said,
dethroned.
Yeah, I get what's left over after right. everything else. But that's one of the reasons why this identity issue is so important, because it can be sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
It just consumes you without you realizing it. And so what happens is you start responding out of your new identity as opposed to who you are in Christ. And you start reminding yourself of the truths that I have security in Christ. I've been loved by Christ. Mm. And I'm strengthened by Christ. And as a result of that, then I can respond differently to these situations.
Mm-hmm. I remember this. The doctor told us after our first child was born that we should wait to come together in marriage for 6 weeks. So we went back for a 6-week checkup, and the doctor said, "So how has intimacy been?" And we said, "Well, it hadn't been 6 weeks yet." And the doctor said, "Oh, you did that?" And I was like, wait a sec. Wait just a second. You told me I had to. That's why I did that. But this is a part of the adjustment that takes place, the separation that can happen between a husband and wife. Marital relations are on hold for a little while. Even when you reengage as a couple, a wife is in a very different place with her body at that point, and that can be a hard adjustment for couples.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's one of the reasons why we thought it was important to address that subject, because there are a lot of things that change sexually prior to a baby and after a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if I don't have who I am in Christ solidified, if I don't believe that Christ is giving me everything that I need in order to love and give and serve others, and my wife included, then those moments are going to be frustrating. Mm-hmm. Or think about, let's say you're past the 6-week period, and here you are, you're ready to have intimacy, And literally, right at the time you're ready to have intimacy, your baby starts screaming. And all of a sudden, that's the end of that.
Yep.
And you're just like,
Mama has to go get him.
Are you serious? You know, and then you go have a conversation with your child like, dude, I love the fire out of you, but you are jamming me up bad right now.
And at 6 weeks, he's just looking up at you and smiling, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you have two chapters out of 12 in this book on parenting, right, tying their shoes, about your marriage. I mean, one of them is sexual intimacy, but the other one's prioritizing your marriage. So how does a couple put their marriage first when they've got little babies or little kids or teenagers in the home?
One of the things that I would encourage all parents to do is take advantage of the little moments. And you have to be creative because you're not going to get a window every day that's the same. So one thing that Rob and I really worked at doing was, even as our kids got older, was, hey, it's Sunday night. Y'all are going to your rooms early. So just go. Or we would make sure that the babies got in, got their feeding done, got their diaper changed, and they were in bed. And then one of us would run out to the local Dairy Queen or wherever and get some milkshakes and head back home, sit on the couch, and just enjoy talking to each other while having our ice cream. We kind of love ice cream at our house. So that was just a go-to. Or, you know, just sit and watch a movie. Just spend time with one another, communicating with one another, catching up with one another throughout the week, and just enjoying a little date at home. And I think one of the problems that some people have is expectations. You know, they expect that we have to go out somewhere once a week, every week, and you just don't have to do that. You can be creative and do things at home.
Were there ever times when that date night would come around and you would go, what I'd like is just sleep, not milkshake, not movie. I'm tired, and the best thing for me would be just let me go to bed.
Absolutely.
Did you fight that, or did you say, that's really what I need tonight, and we'll have a date night later?
That's where communication has to be key. No, I didn't fight it, because what would happen is we would turn on a movie, and it still happens some 10 minutes in, I'm
You're
out.
You're asleep, yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. So the thing that's important is just to communicate that. Hey, babe, I appreciate the fact that you want to make this a priority, spending time with me, but right now I'm so tired that it's not going to matter. I'm going to fall asleep once the movie starts, or I might even fall asleep while we're talking. And that's where you just have to communicate with one another. And, you know, we as ladies, I think sometimes think that our husbands can read our minds, but they can't.
Right.
So we have to communicate that to them and then just work that out, whatever it looks like. And usually it's Rob saying, honey, go to bed. You need some sleep.
And that's really making a choice to put your marriage first. Because I know for me, it was hard for me to even sit down at the end of the day because I've got a million things to do. But you're saying our marriage matters and I'm going to let those things go, the demands of the house or whatever needs to be done. I'm going to choose to make this a priority. And Rob, did that mean a lot to you that Stephanie would take that time?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it has to go both ways.
Yeah.
In other words, one of the ways that we encourage each other is we know what each other would find helpful in that moment. So one moment, it might be go grab milkshakes, have a nice date on the couch. And then a different night might be go to bed. Because it's been a rough week.
Mm-hmm.
And so there can be variation and adjustment, and learning to talk and to read one another through those lenses is a desire to serve.
Mm-hmm. And I also found, tell me if this is true for in your home, that sometimes I need to get her out of the house because the home was an extension of her. And sitting on the couch, she couldn't disconnect. And so we'd go to a restaurant, and I'd get to sit her, and I'd just sort of make it happen. And again, this isn't every time that's the only way we would date, but sometimes, and I'll be honest, when we'd be sitting there at that restaurant, she's not there for 45 minutes. She's sitting right across from me. We're talking, and her brain is still with those children because they're an extension of her. And about 35 minutes in, I could say, oh, you're here. You know, and then it wouldn't be a long date.
Right.
There was no movie. There was not enough time for that. There was not enough money for that.
Yep.
Paying a sitter and going out. But it was an hour and a half, and we go back, and it was like a breath of fresh air. So there's all kinds of ways to date, right? But it was the key, like you said in your book. Prioritize it.
Yeah.
Make this important.
We have to remember that as husband and wife, that's the permanent relationship in this family unit. The children, They're great. We love them, but they're temporary.
That's right.
They're going to one day grow up and be out of the house. And what are we going to do then? If we're not nurturing that marriage throughout our children being there, then we're going to have some trouble once they all grow up and head out.
And I think the important thing that we're talking about here is if you're in the stage where the child has not arrived yet, you're pregnant, you're expecting, you're excited, you need to be aware, go into this with your eyes wide open. Life's about to change for both of you. Your relationship is about to experience some adjustments. That's just going to be a reality. The demands are going to be different than they were before. I mean, be aware of the fact that it's going to be decades before you go back to it's just the two of you and you can make up your own schedule. And if you want to go out on a Tuesday night to see a movie, you don't have to ask anybody and you don't have to get a sitter. It's going to be a long time before those days come back. Be aware of that. Embrace that. Here's what's not going to change, and it's at the core of your book. Your relationship with Christ is not going to change. So now the question is, how does that drive the new priorities that are in front of us in our family? How does Christ empower me to do what he would have me do in this situation as we welcome a baby into our home and into our family and as we make those adjustments?
The question that I get more often than anything else from young moms is, I want to keep Jesus as the center of my life. I have no idea how to do that anymore with these babies in my house. What's your encouragement to moms?
You know, that's a really good question. And I remember being in those shoes. I remember several times during nap time, I would try to take advantage of nap time. But sometimes, you know, as a new mom, you need to nap during nap time. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But I remember trying to do my study of the word during nap time. And oftentimes, I would wake up a half an hour later after, you know, praying through my list of people. I probably didn't make it very far. Or reading my passage, I would fall asleep. But taking advantage of the moments that you do have, and it doesn't have to be, okay, I have to read 10 chapters of my Bible today to be spiritual. Take a couple of verses, meditate on God's word. Use feedings in the middle of the night to pray for your friends or to pray for your family. Use that time to listen to an audio Bible or a podcast. Just being creative and taking those little moments throughout your day, meditating and just thinking on the word.
If I could add just one thing to how do you build your marriage with Christ at the center, it's being gracious in hard moments. Neither you nor your spouse really know what you're doing. You have a baby for the first time.
Yeah,
you've got some ideas. I mean, you have the basics. I have to change them. I have to feed them. I have to clothe them. I got the basics. But how that looks on a day-to-day basis can be challenging. And there are moments when you don't know what's going on until you learn your baby's cries. If there's a cry of, boy, this is a painful cry, or if this is a cry that's, hey, I'm just up. I'm just talking to myself.
Just letting you know I'm here.
Just letting you know I'm here. I'm having a good old time chatting with myself. I'm all good.
Yeah.
And learning to be gracious with one another in the unknown. Mm. I don't know what to do with the baby. Okay, well, that doesn't mean you have to be mad at me because I don't know what to do.
Right.
Or the baby's sick. That doesn't mean I have to be mad at you because we somehow compromised our baby's immune system.
Right.
For going out or whatever.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the passage that teaches us all that love overlooks a multitude of sins. And that's what you're saying. Let's give each other a ton of grace in these times of adjustment. And let's assume the best. Let's believe the best about one another. We're both dealing with modifications in life, stuff we weren't prepared for. This is a new chapter. We're figuring it out. And let's make sure we stay on the same page that we're still committed to one another and we're still giving each other a ton of grace. That's a great word. I'm just thinking of how helpful it would be for a couple in the pregnancy season to get a copy of your book, Tying Their Shoes, and to read through it together to get ready for what is coming. We've got copies of Rob and Stephanie Green's book, Tying Their Shoes, A Christ-Centered Approach to Preparing for Parenting. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get a copy. Again, the title of the book is Tying Their Shoes, A Christ-Centered Approach to Prepare for Parenting. Order online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get a copy. Let me also mention our Art of Parenting video series that's available. This is a great video series for couples to go through when you're expecting a baby, after you've just had a baby. If you've got teenagers, it's a great series to go through as moms and dads of teens, and go through it with other couples. You'll find that is so helpful. Again, find out more when you go to familylifetoday.com or call us at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Now, with the start of a brand new year, we've got something pretty exciting to share with you guys. We want to see more and more people and more families engaging with God's Word in the new year. And with that in mind, our friends at Logos Bible Software have agreed we're going to be giving to anyone who requests it the Logos Bible Software platform with a library of more than $2,000 worth of Logos resources and books available, and we're doing that for free. All you have to do is go to our website at familylifetoday.com and click the link that you find there and request it, and you'll get the download key, and you can add that onto your computer. Not just your computer, you can add it onto your mobile devices as well, because Logos works that way. I use Logos all the time. I love it. So it's our gift to you. Go to familylifetoday.com, click the link you find there for Logos Bible Software, and get the Logos system and a library of books for free to start out the new year. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about, among other things, how you get rest as new parents. And not just physical rest, but how do you get rest for your soul, spiritual rest in the early days of parenting. Rob and Stephanie Green will be back with us again tomorrow. We hope you can be back with us as well. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. A Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.